The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230, that's 821-1230, to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS, welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for getting up early and joining me this morning. I really appreciate it. It's a, well, looks like a little bit of an overcast day here in Columbus. Not going to be too cold, though. It's going to be about 47, I hear. It's 7 minutes after the hour, and what we're going to do today is we're going to interview a gentleman, a dentist from Bridgeton, New Jersey, Dr. Stephen Rasner. And we're going to talk about clinical excellence. And you're going to love Dr. Rasner. He's a great, great speaker, a great guest. I can't wait to get to that. Before we do, though, I want to give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And that is, according to a recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists have recently raised their fees? All right. According to a recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists have recently raised their fees? And also, before I get started, I'd like to thank all of those of you who visited our booth at the Women's Expo last Saturday and Sunday. It was nice of you to stop in and say hello and let me know that you have been watching and listening. Also, big thanks to those of you who attended the talk that I gave about smile makeovers. And for those of you that didn't attend, what I did was it was called The Anatomy of a Smile Makeover, and we talked about how I do my trial smiles so that people can see the end result before we ever start. And I think it's neat stuff, and a lot of people who attended thought the same, I believe. So thank you for coming to that. And those of you that are interested in that sort of thing, if you want more information, feel free to call the office at 262-9588, and my staff would be happy to schedule a cosmetic consultation for you. All right. Now, let's get down to the reason. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give out the phone number. It's 821-1230. So if you do have a guest for a question of the day, you can call that number. If you have a question for a guest, for Dr. Rasner, you can call that same number, 821-1230. Or if you'd like to send us an email, the email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. All right. Let me introduce Dr. Rasner. And Dr. Rasner graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in 1980 as a dentist. He has been practicing for 29 years. He has a master's in the Academy of General Dentistry. He's been named the leader in continuing education 5 consecutive years by the magazine called Dentistry Today. He has taught in 41 states and 4 countries. He's authored over 60 articles in virtually every major dental journal. And he's also published 2 books. Dr. Rasner, I can't tell you what a privilege it is to have you on my show today. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. K, and thanks for having me. I'm honored to be a part of your show today. Thanks a lot.
Well, again, I know it's early, and I do appreciate it. As I said, what we want to talk about is excellence in dentistry, because you give a two-hour talk, I believe.
It's sometimes all day.
All day, okay. On what is so? I'm going to ask. Obviously, we don't have all day, but we'll have to give a shortened version. And the question is, what is excellence in dentistry? I mean, how would you answer that?
Well, to me, excellence in dentistry begins and ends with clinical excellence. In other words, you know, the services you provide for our patients. You know, it's funny when patients come into my office, as I'm sure they do you. One of the first things I do is I begin by giving like a little bio of who I am, where they are sitting at this moment. And one of the things that I will say to a new patient is, you know, what really makes a dentist worth his salt, what makes you good is not, you know, coffee and fruit in a waiting room, is not a beautiful, gorgeous office, if that's what you have in mind, by the way. It's pretty average. It's not a great staff, and all those things are nice to have. I get it. The thing that makes a dentist really good is being able to look at a problem, a assess the problem accurately because you've trained for that. That's been a big, big part of your education. I mean, of your business model. I mean, continued education, and then telling the patient what they should do, recommending what they should do, and have that work out for a very, very long time, if not forever. That's
right.
The bottom line. That's what makes you good.
Yes.
That's excellence in dentistry to me.
Right, and it's hard for the buying public, if you will, our patients, or those people who are considering becoming our patients, to understand that there is a difference. And I guess the next question I have is I answered it. Is there really a difference from one dentist to the next?
Yeah, and you know, Doc, I think the reason why patients have such a disadvantage in dentistry, I can't speak for medicine so much or really any of the other professions, but I think one of the reasons that they have such a disadvantage is because in dentistry, if you think about it, we are kind of isolated from each other. I don't have to tell you that you can go a career, you can certainly go 10 or 20 years without bumping into the dentist that's down the street. It's just the way it is. And the reason it's that way is because we don't have to congregate at a hospital. You and I don't have to go to the hospital two or three times a week.
Right.
And we don't bump into four or five other dentists. And when you come across, and you and I know that to keep your license, you can take one of two paths. You can make education, as I know you do, a constant part of your business model. You know, that's just what you do. You pay the electric, you pay the telephone, and you take courses.
Right.
Because that's the only way to stay current in this profession. Things, you know, things that were told this is the best we should do 5 years ago are not necessarily the same today in 2008.
Most of what I do today I did not learn in dental school.
Of course. That's right. And so patients, you know, are at, and this is what happens, Doc, in my opinion. A patient when he comes across something that he's not sure what to do, or she's not sure what to do with regards to dental care to their patient, it's the rare dentist, and you know this, that looks at that patient and says, you know, I don't really know what to do. I'm going to refer you to such and such. I'm not saying it never happens. Of course it does. I know that you would do that. I know that I would do that. I did it this week.
Yeah.
You know, or it's sometimes, I think it's not common that a dentist will pick up the telephone, call somebody else, send the x-rays over. I mean, I'm sure it does happen, but not as much as it should. So what that means is that patients very often end up being at the mercy of the knowledge of who they go to. That's the truth.
Yes.
And I think what happens is sometimes we get, that's why we have such a variation in the patient world of what they should do. You know, should they keep the tooth or not keep the tooth? You know, every patient listening today knows somebody who has a history that went through the root canal, went through a crown on a tooth that's now been extracted some years later. Does that make a root canal and a crown bad for everybody? Of course not. But somewhere, sometimes, they get wrong advice. And so I guess I'm off the track of what you asked me. You asked me.
No, actually, you're doing just fine, because the question is there really a difference from one dentist to the next? And then I have a follow-up question is, how does the average consumer know how good or credible their dentist may be?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how to answer how good or credible they should be, but this is what I would do if I was going out to get my own dental work done as a consumer. If you get something, if you walk into an office, and you know, it's really funny, it's not funny, but it's a fact. How many patients switch dentists all the time? And I mean, I don't know what it's like in medicine, so maybe it happens there as well. I mean, from my own history, it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the consumers they find themselves in this position very often where they are sitting in a new dental office. And one of the questions must be, you know, is what you just said. I mean, how do I know? Well, I think, number one, you rely on your gut instinct to how you're being treated, for starters. Because I don't care how good a dentist was. If I was being treated as just another digit,
yes.
I wouldn't stay there, whether it was a lawyer or a dentist or a physician.
I'd be out of there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but, you know, we all put up with it at times in our careers. I mean, it's happened to me this weekend. not in medicine, but just in a business I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a diner, and the guy just was just totally unreasonable about where he was going to sit me and when he was going to sit me. Like, he could care less.
Right.
I think it happens everywhere is my point. And so that's one thing. Number two, I think you need to understand, and I realize that the audience listening has their own time constraints and things to do besides sitting in our chairs. I get it.
Yes.
You know, but that being said, if I went into an office, if there was a place to error, let the dentist err on the side of being too thorough.
Right.
If you think it's taking too long, in other words, he wants all these x-rays, you know, Dr. K and I get it. We know what sometimes you folks are thinking.
You know,
why do you need all these x-rays? Well, you need all the x-rays because very often the x-rays we get from our colleagues, just because of various reasons, aren't as crystal clear as the ones we get out of our own machines.
Correct.
And we need accurate information to tell you the accurate answer about what you should do. Should you keep a tooth, not keep a tooth? Sometimes the answer is not crystal clear until we know the whole picture. That brings up my next point.
Okay.
We need, if I was a consumer in dentistry, I would be sure, I don't care if I went into the office for one chipped tooth or one pained area in my lower left. You know, let me just diverge for a minute.
Okay.
When patients come into my office, I will tell them often that when I get the phone calls, I know, for new patients to our office, I'm aware that most of the patients tell us, well, I chipped a tooth, or I have pain in this area or that area. What we do is that we look at the entire mouth, and that's not us looking for problems that you don't have. That's not us trying to just say what it is. We're not trying to jack up your bill. You know, a really good dentist doesn't want to jack up your bill. A really good dentist doesn't care so much about taking marginal fillings out of your mouth that are silver that may not be perfect and replacing them with white to stay busy. What a really good dentist wants to do is look at your whole mouth, which includes your gum tissues, all your teeth, because the only way to make a good decision about the tooth you came in with that's paining you is to look at the whole mouth. Because let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say it was a back molar. It's not that as a doctor, as a dentist, I don't value the back molars, but let's say it was your very back molar, one that, you know, was not in what we call the aesthetic zone where you smile.
Right.
But you happen to have 14 other cavities, and two of those other cavities needed root canal. I mean, I know that sounds extreme, but it does happen.
No.
You know, it happens in your office.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes, and money's an issue, and money's almost always an issue to everybody, especially these days, for the last couple years.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to make choices. And maybe it's not the greatest choice in the world that a back tooth could sacrifice, but it's certainly going to be a choice in my chair if I have, you know, 10 or 12 of the cavities and money's limited. I'm not going to spend it all on one tooth. It's not that a back tooth isn't significant. I don't want to give that to the audience's mind. It's just that everything has to be considered before we make a decision. And, Doc, you've seen me lecture before, and you've seen me show a root canal and a cap on a molar that not only was in the back of the mouth, but had shifted and almost turned horizontal in that patient's mouth over the years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so everything has to be considered when you make a decision on a patient. That's why we spend so much time doing it.
Oh, I know. Hey, you know what? We have to go to a break. I think we're getting into some pretty important material here, and I do think we're going to open some eyes today. So if you do me a favor, bear with me. We'll come back here after commercial. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Make you smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And as most of you know, that's one of my favorite songs. I just think it's a happy song, and of course it's talking about smiling, which is what we do for a living, me and Dr. Rasner. Before I get back to Dr. Rasner, let me give out a couple guesses that people have called in with for the question of the day. And the question of the day, if you don't remember, is according to a recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists have recently raised their fees? And Let me just reintroduce Dr. Reznor. Dr. Reznor is a dentist and been practicing for 29 years in Bridgeton, New Jersey. He has taught in 41 states and 4 countries, authored over 60 articles in virtually every major dental journal, and he's published 2 books. So, Dr. Reznor, thanks for sticking with us over the break. And I'm curious, what would your guess be on the survey of dentists? How many have recently raised their fees? What percent do you think of dentists?
I was thinking about that while you had me on hold. My guess would be, I would say 20%.
Okay.
That's my guess.
We're going to mark that down, and at the end of the show, we're close to, when we go with the answer, we're going to see how close you are.
Sure.
I do that periodically with my guests. My guests, and it's kind of neat because you'd be surprised how close they can be and how far off they can be. But we will see. Now,
I'm confused about it. I don't have any clue because you would be have to have your head in the sand to not be aware of the economy these days. Correct.
Correct. Correct.
You know, we're talking dentistry today, but it's just such a powerful part of history of our lives right now. You know, what's going on around the country, watching, you know, the economy struggle and people lose jobs. And, you know, it's just universal. It's absolutely everywhere.
Right.
So I don't know how that could not have effect on, even our profession.
And I think that's what spawned the question. I think that the group that did the survey were wondering themselves. And I will tell you as a little hint that there is a certain percentage where fees were lowered, but I don't want to give out numbers yet because I don't want to ruin the surprise. But
absolutely. I'll wait patiently like the real audience.
3 categories. There was what we're asking for is what percent have raised their fees, and then I'll give you the answers to the other two. There's a category of no change and a category of having lowered them. So, all right. Now, what we're talking about is excellence in dentistry, and it's something that people don't really understand, I believe. And you talked about how you don't normally lose patients. You talked about 2 things I want to go back to. One is how long it takes especially for an initial visit with a patient, and the other is not losing patients. And in my experience, I find when we have these surveys that after a patient leaves our office, they are encouraged on the web to rate us. And honestly, the most common negative that we get, and they do it in a nice way, is how long our examination and x-ray appointment took. So I'm thinking that's a pretty good problem to have. I probably have to do a little bit more preparation, let them know they're going to be there a while. But because we are thorough, it includes oral cancer screening, it includes every tooth in your head, whether you have just 1 or 2 that bother you. It includes your bite, your smile, your lip line, your gum line. Do you have a gummy smile? All of those things, sometimes models, and they just take time. And you mentioned that it takes longer. So that's one way you're saying that a consumer, a patient, can rate their office is by how long it takes. So instead of people criticizing us for the length, they should be thanking us, right?
Well, it's the truth. I mean, you know, as a member of the audience listening right now, if you can just think about it for a minute, what would we have to gain by making the appointment longer than it needs to be?
Very good point.
You know, the dentist that are taking that kind of time to look at you are truly doing it because they want to give you accurate information, accurate recommendations. And by the way, you need to know that lots of the time that the people, I mean, how long does it take? Let's just get to nail on the head. It could take anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah, an hour and a half is what I was going to say. Yeah.
And in my office, I'm sure as in your office, Doc, patients are aware of that before they come in. And, you know, when some patients hear that, yeah, they don't choose to come in because, you know, it's not for everybody. Somebody just wants their tooth pulled, and that's all they want. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, Doc, you can't be everything to everyone. And I will tell you this, and I know that you know that I've spoken not only in dentistry but outside of dentistry to Fortune 500 companies. The companies that are the best companies in the world, the ones that have endured the longest, whether it's a hotel chain like the Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton or whether it's, I don't know, Southwest Airlines or people like, you know, I guess that Southwest is not actually a good example due to about what I'm about to say. What they do is they follow their business model, the philosophy of how they run what they run. And they stick to it over a long period of time. And, you know, they don't change it from year to year to try to save money or whatever. You don't see Southwest Airlines. It's ironic. you know, changing all their check-in policies right now and all the other things. They think about that for a minute. They stick to their model. And in dentistry, I can tell you, I've done mine 29 years. I don't know how long you've practiced.
Same, 29 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God knows it goes quickly. But over those 29 years, you know, I have pretty much, this is something new, you know, a thorough exam, doing the cancer screening like you do, they're taking your blood pressure, all my new patients that I think warrant it, which are most of them. You know, we don't even, a lot of things that I do, and I'm sure a lot of things that you do, are not billable.
Right.
So it's not like I can charge for it.
Exactly.
You know, it's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because, number one, my true desire, as I'm sure every great dentist in America who's truly great, and there's many of us, like there are in any profession, you know, is your desire to be great. You know, I mean, it doesn't go further than that. You know, I can remember years and years ago, Doc, thinking to myself, I wanted to be that doctor when you finally needed a dentist. Just like our listeners right now, somebody out there finally needs a sports medicine doctor. Or somebody needs, you know, an ENT or whatever you need. And you haven't needed that doctor for the last 10, 20 years. And I know we're all supposed to get checkups every 6 months, but lots of us don't. You and I both know that. I'm talking about in dentistry. And I wanted to be that guy when you finally, like, you know, God forbid you lost a front tooth or you had pain for the first time that you can remember. I wanted to be the one that came to your mind.
Right.
And the only way I could think to do that was to train incessantly over my career, which is what I've done. And I'm sure I know that. I know for a fact that's what you've done.
Right.
And that led to a lot of other things that leads today to how I conduct my dental business, which includes a long and thorough examination. And at the end of the day, when I'm done my exam, if I tell you, I think what you need to do is you need to cap this tooth and have your gums treated like this, not everybody says yes. There's no guarantee that because you and I are taking 90 minutes or whatever we're taking, that the patient at the end of the chair is going to say yes, and right. It's up to them.
Right.
So it's really about how you want to run and exist in your community as a dentist. End of story.
Well, I'd much rather be criticized for being too thorough and taking too long than missing something.
Yep.
We do have to go to a break, and we're going to get further into this here in just a little bit. So stick with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Good morning, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for getting up early and joining me with my show. And today we're talking to Dr. Stephen Rasner of Bridgeton, New Jersey. Before we get back to Dr. Rasner, I would like to give out some guesses that came in over the break. I actually was remiss in not doing that between the last two breaks. Craig sent in a guess of 90%. April sent in one of 72%. Scott called a guess of 35%. And Harris called in with a guess of 61%. Now, the question of the day, if you forget, is, according to a recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists have recently raised their fees? Dr. Rasner gave a 20% guess, and we're going to find out here soon what the answer really is. And so what we were talking about before the break with Dr. Rasner is we're talking about excellence in dentistry and how do you find a dentist that is going to provide you that excellent care, not only the way you're greeted and treated, but the actual excellent care that's clinically performed in your mouth. Because let's face it, you don't really know if the dentistry that's being done is appropriate. Is it excellent? Is it adequate? Is it mediocre? Is it not so great? And you might not even find that out if it wasn't so great until maybe something fails a few years down the road. And so here's the other part of this, Dr. Rasner, and that is we have, and in my history, I have not lost that many patients. However, I did decide to take my name off of the Delta Dental list at the beginning of this year. And because of that, there have been several people who have chosen to go to someone on the list. Now, I can't tell you how frustrating that is, because I think I thought that they understood that they were getting excellent, excellent care clinically, both clinically and personally, and yet they chose to try someone on the list to save money. Now, probably hindsight, you know, with the economy doing what it's doing, maybe wasn't the best year to try that switch. Although I feel real strongly that I cannot provide the absolute excellent care that I do for the fees that, in this case, Delta Dental would reimburse me. And so I went ahead and I did it anyway. And I feel great about my decision, but I worry about the people that have left the practice. So, you know, I have a question. I had a question written here that I wanted to ask you, and it kind of ties in. And it's this. It's, why not just go to someone on my insurance company list? If I'm a patient out there and I'm asking you that question, what would your answer be?
Right. Well, you know, to the folks listening, you just mentioned, Doc, about, you know, how do you know if the work is great? How do you know if it's mediocre? And listen, it's easy for me to sit here to your listeners and pontificate, you know, because I'm your guest today, or in your radio show, that, you know, we're great, and I know you know that we're not saying we're great and everybody else isn't. The real question is, how does a patient know how good their dentist is? Whether he's great or not is irrelevant at this moment. And here's the thing I always say to my patients. You know, if you and I were skin doctors, if we were dermatologists, it'd be really easy to tell if we were doing our jobs.
Yeah, skin would either clear up or it wouldn't, right?
You come in with a skin rash, and you know, we claim to be the ones that are painless and taking care of it, and we can give you the right medicines in a matter of a couple of days. You'll start to see a change, and it stays the way it was when you walked in. You wouldn't stay with us.
Right.
It'd be real easy to figure it out. And here's the thing. The profession that you and I chose is a profession where the things that are wrong don't always hurt. You know, why is it that patients walk into your office and they come in with a chipped tooth on the upper right that they can see, and when you do your full examination that you and I are talking about, that we find an abscess tooth, let's say, on the other side of their mouth?
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt, does it?
It doesn't hurt. And, you know, are we exaggerating? Are we adding stuff? Of course, for God's sakes, we're not. You know, but, you know, to the patient that's sitting in our chairs, the other things you have to understand is, when you have a cap done or a crown, whatever word, that's the same thing,
right?
Whatever word you want to use, you have to understand that as doctors, Dr. K and I can send that cap out to a laboratory in a foreign country. We can send it to a laboratory somewhere here in the United States, and we can spend a real small amount of money on it, or we can invest in your mouth at the level that we are comfortable with. And, you know, I can tell you that in my office, the laboratory that does the caps for my office use microscopes. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, most dentists use loops around their neck.
Right.
I do. I'm sure you do. And in a laboratory, that can be the case as well. But, you know, my lab, and I know it's not the only lab in the United States that does it, uses, you know, 25-power microscopes. So what that means to the listeners is that the cap fits better at the margin, and that's the place it's going to fail 5 or 10 or 15 years from now first.
Right.
You know, if it's made with a not-so-tight fit, it's going to fail a lot quicker. And the bottom line to you is not only a loss of your investment in your one tooth, but often the loss of the tooth itself. And so, yes, there's an incredible difference from one dentist to the next.
We want to expand on that a little more, but it is time to go to a break. And so stick with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Dr. Kvitko, and we will be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. And good morning. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and with me on the phone is Dr. Stephen Rasner of Bridgeton, New Jersey. And we're talking about clinical excellence in dentistry. And Dr. Rasner gives a lecture called Achieving Success Through Clinical Excellence. So basically what he's teaching dentists is you can be successful by doing a good job. You don't have to look to find shortcuts just to make a living or make a better living than maybe you were. And to me, that's very important, because if I'm going to be successful, it's going to be by doing it the right way. And oftentimes, patients don't understand that there are different ways. Before I get back to Dr. Rasner, let me give out a couple more guesses that came in over the break. Karen called in a guess of 48%. Lori guessed 10%. And Dr. Rasner, you might remember, guessed 20%. And the question was, according to a recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists have recently raised their fees? So in the interest of getting the answer out, because every once in a while I actually forget to do this, I'm going to give the answer now. And the answer is 22%. Congratulations, Dr. Rasner. You are within 2% of the actual answer.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm surprised it's that hard.
That it's that high? Well, let me tell you that 76% of the respondents indicated that they had not changed their fees at all, and 2% have actually lowered them. So,
how many said they hadn't changed them?
76% no change.
Okay, and then that would be me.
That would be you. Yeah, that would be me also. And then 2% have lowered their fees.
Okay.
I don't know by how much. I don't think that was one of the questions. But and actually, the respondents are given a chance to give comments. And some of the comments were things like, I will be increasing my fees within the next couple of months, but as my normal yearly increase, not because of the current economy. So they're just saying they raise them yearly, period. The Oklahoma dentist said we change our fees every January. Here, this one says we may not raise fees unless supply costs continue to rise. Wages must also remain as is, or fees will have to rise. That was a Wisconsin dentist. And then here's somebody that says, no one's lowering my costs. So far, my vendors, my labs, and my employees haven't volunteered to lower their costs to me, said a New York prosthodontist. And so he's planning on, he raised his fees, actually. And then here's one, a Florida dentist, quote, if you lower fees, you will not make it, end quote. That was a warning to other dentists from a Florida dentist. And here's one that says, I have raised fees, but so far it has not translated to the bottom line. That was a Massachusetts dentist. I don't understand that one, because he's saying he raised his fees and he's not seeing an improvement, unless he lost some people because of it or people had to stop saying yes. But it is an interesting time. We are in uncharted waters historically. Because even though, the Great Depression, which we're not in a depression yet, did only affect the United States. Other countries were not depressed at that time. It was just the United States. And so the big difference this time is it's worldwide.
Sure.
And so I like to tell my people, my patients, that we're not really, if you really think about it for a second, and maybe you haven't thought of this, we're not really that, it's not that different than before, because everybody's down. So if you could picture, I like to think of, let's think of the Hawaiian Islands for a minute. Let's just say that the only land masses on Earth were those seven islands, and you had seven tribes living on them, and they got together and decided they were going to have a system of trade where they had found, let's say 14,000 like blue shiny rocks or something, and they decided that would be the currency, so every island had 2,000 shiny rocks, and they had them to spend. Well, if a tsunami came by and took away 1,000 of my rocks and everyone else still had theirs, I'd be at a big, big disadvantage. But if the tsunami came by and affected all seven islands, all seven tribes lost 1,000 of their rocks, we're all in the same boat. We know things actually, the price comes down because we only have 1,000 to pay. But that 10 rocks buys more than it used to. So, you know, I don't know if there's any validity to that. I'm not an economist, but it does seem...
It sounds pretty good for a minute.
It does, when you think about it. I read that one of the... I wish I could remember his name. One of the... Might have been Ted Turner. Had lost something like $8 billion in this economic downturn. But he still has 20, okay? So... If you take him and you compare him to somebody that had maybe $28,000 in the bank and they lost $8,000 of it, they would still have $20,000. So that person with the $20,000 is still, you know, the same distance away from a Ted Turner as they were. So I'm thinking that might be what's keeping us going, because we keep hearing doom and gloom. But if you go outside, you see cars going up and down the street. You see people in the restaurants. You see people in the stores.
Yeah, I have a little different view on it. My view is that It really doesn't matter about all that, because what matters is that if you're out there and you've lost your job, God forbid, and certainly that's happened in hundreds of thousands of people, you can't sit around and wait for somebody else to fix it for you. And you know I believe in that because you've heard me speak before.
Right.
You know, you've got to take, you know, you got a family to take care of, you got yourself to take care of. You've got to attack, meaning that hit the pavement, do whatever you have to do, not take a moment to feel sorry for where you're at, the position in life you're presently in. For goodness sakes, you might be, you know, 55 years old, 62 years old, and you just lost a job you had for 20 years. There's no point in dwelling on why. The only thing to do is to go out and fix it and make it better, because the sooner you do that, even if it's not the actual job that you want, it's a step in the right direction of trying to preserve your family. And that's how I believe, you know. And
oh, I agree.
100%. I'm sure a lot of people are doing that.
Right. Well,
but
in a lot of ways, we make our own luck. And
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, things happen to us, but it's how we react to things that happen to us that is the most important. And you might need 2 or 3 part-time jobs to get you to the point where you can sustain your style of living, as opposed to that one. And it's not going to be pleasant, but hey, you know what? If you get out there and you do it maybe before everybody else, because they're still feeling sorry for themselves, you're going to be the one that gets that job.
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, we do have so much to get to, and unfortunately we have to take another break. And before we come back, before we go to this break, I want to find out, can I have you back on the show sometime? Because I haven't even scratched the surface of questions that I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yeah. Doc, I'd be honored to be back. It's fun for me to share my views and your views to your audience. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great. And I want people to know that the show is available by podcast by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. When you go there, click on the on-air button, or rather hold your mouse over it. A drop-down box appears. Click on Dr. Kvitko. Takes you to my home page, and from there it'll say click here to go to podcast page. And this show and every other is available about 30 minutes after we go off the air. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
You make me smile.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And today with us on the phone is a dentist from Bridgeton, New Jersey, Dr. Stephen Rasner. Dr. Rasner has lectured in 41 states and 4 countries, has written 2 books. I consider him a good friend. I consider him an expert in the field. I'm proud to know Dr. Rasner, and I appreciate you being with me this morning and being willing to come back, actually. Dr. Rasner, we only have about 3 minutes, which is why I asked you if you would come back. And here's the question I would like us to end off with. Dr. Rasner, you've been practicing dentistry for 29 years. What do you think is the single biggest advancement in our profession?
Well, there's not even a close second. The biggest advancement has been the friendly, user-friendly implant dentistry. I don't know what my words are. I couldn't grab it.
Okay.
Implant dentistry has been the biggest advancement. And I hesitated because it has been around for many, many years. I don't really know how many. I think 75 years or something close to that.
Well, but I think the first human trials were in about 1975 or something.
So I guess I'm right on the money there. And as you know, Doc, it's become, there's been all kinds of institutes that have evolved in the last 10 years that make it user-friendly to dentists like you and I.
Right.
And the reason why I think it's the biggest advancement is because it helps me as a dentist, and I'm sure yourself and other good dentists, embrace the less is best philosophy.
Right.
So to the listeners out there, when you finally lost a tooth or broke, you know, it had root canal, a crown, it had everything dentistry knows how to do to it, and it just has failed. Rather than have to use the adjacent teeth to have what's called a fixed bridge put in, which we've used for years and years, and I'm sure is the number one way teeth are replaced even today, we don't have to touch those teeth, and we can replace your lost tooth with a implant without involving other teeth, because less is best is the name of the game for all of us, in medicine and in dentistry, meaning the less we have to do to the rest of your teeth and involve and still fix your problem, the better it is.
I agree.
And that's what that allows, and I know that you know that.
Yeah, it was liberating when I received my training to place dental implants. It's been such a great additive service to my practice, and the patients really do appreciate it.
Yeah, maybe at a later time when we get together, we can talk about more about that, and also about not just replacing the tooth, but how it's changed the world of the patients that are handicapped by dentures.
Sounds great.
You know?
Thank you so much. We have to go. Tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. and we'll be there with another great show. Thank you for listening.